took her to lunch, went shopping. I took her to dinner. He said, I haven't done that in years. I created a magic moment for my wife. She just wants you to fight for her, man. Be a king. Be a queen. Be there for your family. I'm telling you right now, you have teenage sons and daughters that desperately want to be with mom and dad, and you're not giving it to them. Prospecting will solve your problems. It's when you curl up in the fetal position and go, woe is me. You gotta have grit. You gotta fight through it. Failure is simply not an option for my family. I will do whatever it takes. Now you get a choice. You can get bitter or you can get better. Victims get bitter. Victors get better. And I can't even tell you, you're just thanking me profusely. I spell love, T-I-M-E, baby. Go create a magic moment. There's more life than money.
Let's go. So welcome back, everybody, to a Price Yourself podcast. I am Matthew Campoli, and today we have a gentleman who is willing to leave the warmth to come to a city where you will freeze, and a city that's full of double land transfer tax and capital gains as well. So thank you.
It's great to be here
into our environment. But first off, how is as someone who's, I'm interested in the nomadic lifestyle, how is living in Puerto Rico?
The nomadic lifestyle. By the way, they introduced me as the godfather of real estate. That was a first today. That was hilarious. But I actually live there. I'm not a nomad. But it's wonderful. I live on a beach.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
You like it?
I love it.
Cool.
I always get excited when my wife and I fly in. We're like kids. We're like giggly. Like it. You come to San Juan, there's a full moon, the city lights, and we're just like pumped. It's like living on vacation. It's all right.
We love it. We love it. And you mentioned something in your little speech, but being the director of your movie, how do you like your movie?
I love my movie. I worked hard. It's like Rocky Balboa or Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith or the Cinderella story with the boxer. And that's been my, by the way, do you know what your name means? Have you ever looked up the meaning of your name?
Gift of God.
Do you hear that? Give me a hand, gift of God. My name, when you look it up on your iPhones right now, Brent, means uphill struggle. Anyways, so.
How about goat?
I don't know, man.
Okay.
I'm a mutt. I'm a little bit of everything.
Well, you're dominating the uphill struggle, so.
Thank you.
Give you kudos for that.
Yeah.
But quick and high level, how would you take us through your real estate career? I know you touched on it, but for the new listeners.
For the other people.
The other people.
Thousands of listeners.
A month from now.
Tens of thousands. My first 6 months, I sold 3 homes. I was not the rookie of the year or the month. I was failing. And then I went to my broker, we had a heart-to-heart, and I go, this is not working for me, 3 homes in 6 months. And he gave me some advice that really helped me. And that year I sold 18 homes. The advice was, just get somebody in your car, man, and go show property. If they look, they buy. Write that down. If they look, they buy. So I'm like, that was all my big training program. So I just started begging people to get in my car. We used to have Thomas Guide map books. You don't even know what we're talking about, maps. And I go, look, I can't drive and read that thing. You read it and I'll drive. And I started showing property and getting people out to look. And sure enough, they'd see a home they get excited about. I drive them 30, 40 miles back to my independent broker's office. He would write the offer because I did not know what he was doing. But I sold 18 homes that year, 20 homes, 8 homes the next year, 37 homes the year for that. Then I think my fourth year, 1999, I sold 48 homes.
Wow.
Yeah.
After 4.
Yep.
Impressive, impressive. And then one day just came into your life and you decided to make a switch.
Yep.
EXP.
Well, there's a lot happened between that switch.
Okay, yeah.
I went to Toronto and learned from Craig Proctor, mm-hmm. went from 40 sales a year to 400 because I am coachable. I am teachable.
Yeah.
And then in 2008, the market crashed in California and I went from selling, 55 homes a month and getting paid 55 times a month to the market just died. I mean, it died. We dropped down to 9 sales a month or maybe 11, which may sound great, 9 or 11 sales a month, but I was just an agent, but I had 13 full-time staff. And I kept them on way too long. And I was 39 years old. I thought it would get better. I was a victim of Zig Ziglar. Success, have a positive attitude. It didn't get better for years. And so I finally was so desperate, I joined Keller Williams. And I was there 12 years at RE/MAX, 10 years at Keller Williams. And then EXP found me. I was not looking. I liked RE/MAX. I loved Keller Williams. And then eXp found me, and it just made too much economic sense. I mean, it was like, if people understood this, but people put out a lot of misinformation on our model, and people say, I'm just going to stay where I am. And it's, that part's sad.
So with what year was this?
2017, or right around 2017, I think it was my first year.
Okay. And you said there's misinformation, so let's give some right information about the model.
Yeah. Well, when I went to Remax, and then I switched to Keller Williams, they said, oh, they have all that training because they only have new agents, and no one knows what the heck they're doing. You're like the number one Remax agent in California out of 10,000. You're a maverick. You're better. Don't embarrass us by going to Keller Williams. That's how Remax, because they were the number one competitors. And I'm like, well, I've been to their trainings, and they're pretty flippin' amazing, and I'm going to go. And they were putting out misinformation, but I started checking out Keller Williams for myself. And personally, I flourished. Same thing. When I went to eXp, they're like, the stock will be worthless. We're a billion-dollar company today. The revenue share, they won't pay you, and they paid me. And it was just simply not true. And I don't care if you're at Royal LePage and you go tell your broker, I'm going to Sotheby's today. They're not going to go, you're right, you found them. Shoot, how'd you find them? They're such a better company. Or if you're a Coble Baker saying, I'm going to Century 21, they're you know, usually it's like, and agents get that way. Brokers, agents, like, I'm a certain hockey team. They're my team, ride or die, that team. And people get that way with their brokerages, and they close their mind and their eyes, and they miss out on tremendous opportunity. So I ended up going for the equity piece and the revenue share piece, which doesn't exist in the brokerages. It does at ours.
Exactly. And what has revenue share done for you?
Well, you know, my first 30 days, I went on listing appointments every day, like normal, ran my team every day. But I met people for coffee every morning at 7:30 for 30 minutes or an hour, made one little change. And my first month, I earned $5,000 in revenue share, which is $60,000 a year. And then the next month, it was $10,000, which is $120,000 a year. I saw your chart about what does it take to have that. And then my Keller Williams was like, yeah, but Gary says it isn't sustainable. And I'm like, well, we'll see. The next month, it was 10. I audited eXp. I thought, should have been more. Like, could you imagine going to a company and being shocked you're only getting $10,000 a month? I was shocked in audit. I'm like, well, it was February. It was a short month. That's all we got. The next month, it was $27,000. And it kind of bounced around to that, to $34,000 for the next 6 or 7 months. My 13th month, it hit $55,000 a month, which is $600,000 a year. And then 4 months later, it doubled to $118,000 a month, which is $1.2 million a year. 8 months later, that went to $250,000. I could keep going. It went on and on and on. And they go, are all you about money? Well, I don't know. Why do you go to work? Why do you list homes? Why do you get excited when you have a $600,000 listing or a $1.6 million listing? It's to make money for your family. No, I do not worship at the altar of money. I am paid for loving, supporting the agents. You are paid for loving and supporting your clients. We just did both. And the results were staggering for many. I'm a small example.
Yeah, that's a huge accomplishment.
Well, thank you.
So, big props to you. And I did know your name was the godfather of eXp.
That's the first time. That's not me. I'm done.
Okay, I'm Italian, so.
You like it. He likes it.
Yeah.
All right.
I resonate. But so let's get into some advice for some of the agents out there. We're coming off a bit of a down year last year, right? You know, a lot of hard realities faced and struggles and changes and all these things going on. But how can agents really take their business to new heights today?
You're gonna have to fight through this moment. Like, I think really our president, John Seid, did a great job. In a good market, we prospect. In a bad market, we prospect. In a good or bad market, we prospect. And you just, prospecting will solve your problems. It's when you curl up in the fetal position, suck on your thumb, and go, woe is me, because interest rates are higher, this limited inventory. You gotta have grit, you gotta fight through it, you gotta double down, or just go under. Like someone out here, I met you, I wish I could remember who you, literally looked at me and he's right over here at table number 5. He said to me, failure simply isn't an option. And I believe you said, this is like your 4th or 5th year in real estate. How much did you earn or roughly, did you mention?
That's 23.
What?
You mean last year?
Yeah.
on the middle bridge, speaking that bridge.
Over $300,000. But I go, wow, congratulations, because last year was a tougher year. He looked at me, he goes, failure is simply not an option for my family. I will do whatever it takes. And so I think when you have that kind of an attitude, you get through these tough times, because real estate is cyclical. Go back 100 years. It grows, pulls back, grows. One thing about real estate is the market's going to change. Interest rates will go up, inventory will shrink, inventory will come back out, interest rates will go down. And right now, it's a pruning time for RE/MAX, for eXp, for Royal LePage, for all brokerages. It is a pruning time. And when the tree or the bushes or the vines get pruned, they produce more fruit. And some people are going to get pruned out of real estate. I'm sorry. The people who are struggling in the good market, they're dead. I mean, if you were struggling in the good market, so there's a pruning, but when the market comes back, it's going to be amazing. If you can make $300,000 in this market, you can make $1 million a year. But my challenge to everybody is have balance. Like, there's no such thing as work-life balance. I personally don't believe that. I'm still married. My kids love me. I love them. I have a great relationship with all 8 of my kids. But I forced myself to put the big rocks in first. I coached the sports. I was at the practices and the games. I went to church. I went to men's group. I played golf every Friday. I fed real estate the leftovers. Most people give real estate the best and their family gets the leftovers. They get divorced and they don't know their kids. So I'm telling you right now, you have teenage sons and daughters and little 5-year-olds and 3-year-olds that desperately want to be with mom and dad, and you're not giving it to them because you're all about the money. Like, oh, I got to do this. Have a little faith. You might miss a listing and a buyer once in a while, but I'd rather have a life. Anybody with me on that one?
Right.
Have a life.
I love it. I love it. You kind of answer my next question a little bit, but essentially, because the business is such a roller coaster and the fight or flight all the time, ups and downs, you might have a duration of time where we're just down. What's a way we can mentally cope with that?
I mean, for me, I would go to events like this. I always felt better when I went to a Craig Proctor event or a mega camp with Keller Williams or a family reunion. And it was the speakers on stage and the people in the audience. It was the people you'd have coffee with or breakfast with in the morning. Maybe you go to dinner. It was the people. The people lifted me up. They like, okay, Saruthi was living on a mattress and couch surfing and doing dishes in like just a year ago, not 30 years ago. Like, you know, it's not the end of me. It's sayings like this. It's not the force of the gale, but the set of your sail that determines your direction in life. And right now happens to be a time in the marketplace where the wind is blowing. There's limited inventory. Interest rates are up. And everyone's like, oh, man, guess what? When it's storming, the wind's blowing, the boat goes faster. Sails are meant to harness the wind. What you are praying, God, take this from me. How could you let me suffer like this? He's using that to make you a new person. To make you, yeah, let's hear it for that, right? Yeah. And so he loves you. That's why you're going through what you go. It's part of your struggle is somebody else's survival guide.
This is why I love hosting a podcast, because I get to be in proximity with individuals like this who just fire me up all the time. So that's how I cope. Not that anyone else, but just letting you know anyways. And I want to get into tell us about like one of your biggest failures and how you overcame it.
Yeah, so my biggest lesson in real estate came from a lost listing, and it changed my life. And you will lose a buyer, you will lose a seller, you'll meet people, they work at RE/MAX, and I was at RE/MAX 12 years. Like, oh, a fellow RE/MAX agent stole my listing. Well, A, you didn't own them. They didn't steal anything, you know? Maybe you work at Century 21 or Royal LePage or eXp. A fellow eXp agent did me wrong. Here's the bottom line. You got beat. Now you got a choice. You can get bitter or you can get better. Victims get bitter. Victors get better. And so here's how you get better. You learn from your situation. You're not losing, you're learning. Write that down. You're never losing. You're learning if you do this, a forensic audit. So my greatest lesson, I lost the listing. I went back to them because I usually got them. And I said, what was it? Why did you choose that other person? And by the way, congratulations. I mean, I work hard to bring a buyer for you. Feel this? I didn't want to make them feel weird. But I go, this is how I provide for my kids, man, my family. And I want to learn. Like, what was it that Royal LePage agent did that I didn't do? What was it that Compass agent did that I didn't do? Or that brand agnostic company, Platinum Real Estate of Toronto, whatever. What did they do that made you choose them? Because I want to get better for my family. And please don't tell me nothing that doesn't serve me or my children. I really want to know. They go, well, if you really want to know, we interviewed five companies. You were our second choice. We really liked you. We were going to list with you. But then in comes Steve from New Vision Real Estate, some no-name brokerage. Like, I need the Balloon Remax. I need KW. I need Compass. I need the Sotheby's brand. No, you don't. It's in your head. Steve comes in with New Vision Realty. Nobody knows this company. And they said, I go, so why'd you choose Steve? I got to stand up to do this. Is it okay?
Yeah, of course.
He goes, he got done doing his spiel like you. He was just like everybody else. And then he finished. He put his pen down. He goes, here's the bottom line. I want this listing so bad I could taste it. He goes, you say jump, I say how high. I can promise you this. Nobody will outwork me in the Toronto area. Not a person. I know top agents. We share people. What's going on in my offer? He goes, just give me a chance. I give my right arm to have this listing. And he sat back down. And we looked at each other. Like, what do you think? It's yours. What did he demonstrate? A couple things. One was energy. Did he have energy? Two is passion. Passion is contagious. Do you want to, oh yeah, here's my marketing plan. It's really nice, really nice. Really nice agents lose all the time. My next 10 listing appointments, I want this listing so bad I can taste it. You say jump, I say how high. I give my right arm to have this. I turn over every rock. I will outwork every agent in Toronto. Just, now I'm over exaggerating some things, but I copied him exactly. I was 10 for 10. People respond to your energy. If your marriage is, you're about to get over, there's no energy in your marriage. You do your part. I'm not connecting with my 14-year-old son. Put energy, but he's not giving it back. Love him. He wants you to fight for him. My 16-year-old daughter, she's like, you're such a dork, mom. Like, you're positive. She not only doesn't like you, she hates you. She just wants you to fight for her, man. Be a king. Be a queen. Be there for your family. Anyways, so I learned that from that, and I've been doing it ever since. Works great.
You want to sell my house?
But I'm not a queen, I'm a king. Boom. All right. Just kidding. A little humor. Edit that part. It wasn't funny. No. Go ahead.
I was asking if you wanted to sell my house.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to sell your house. Yes.
Okay. Appreciate it. So you mentioned you were in the inner circle of Tony Robbins and, you know, having mentors like that stature in your life, which is incredible.
Yeah.
What's one piece of advice that changed your life?
Oh, man. That's a good one.
I only do good ones.
There's been so many. I think the whole Tony Robbins does this. There's just a kind of that moment in your life where you decide I've had enough. And you will do whatever it takes to transform your marriage, the relationships with the kids, time to get away from these friends. They're taking me into bars and things and drugs I never thought I'd do. They call it microdosing. He's gonna microdose cocaine. Hey, it's not drugs. We're just gonna microdose mushrooms. Those are mushrooms. You know. I don't hang out with people who microdose anything. I hear people who are high in life. We don't need to drink it in. I'll have a glass of wine. I'll do that from time to time and relax. But I don't need three of them or 10 of them. You know, I'm pumping it out. I don't need to pump it in. I don't have to medicate myself. And so I think saying, I'm here, I'm ready. And when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, and you just go all in, and you're so hungry. I'll end with this, and back to you. Tony Robbins says this, hunger is your greatest asset, not your bank account. Some of you haven't been hungry for a long time. I'm not talking about food here. I'm talking about real hunger. Like I'm doing an Encountering God weekend at my home in Puerto Rico. Talk to me if you're interested. I only have a few spots left. It's free. Maybe you're like, man, yeah, my faith. I need that. I'm hungry for that. Or maybe it's a financial thing. Go to Create. It's a bunch of entrepreneurs. They talk about finances and how to deal that. Or you know, a sales. You go to White Lopo. It's all about sales and funnels and different things. But your hunger will drive you to where you need to be to get change. Highly recommend a Tony Robbins event this year. Just say, I'm going. And go. Go to 10X. I'm eating 10X for 5 days in Miami. I'd love to have lunch with you. I'd love to have breakfast with you. Let's grab coffee. Let's go out to dinner. I'm doing nothing. I'm there taking notes, working on my interior so I can show up better for all of you. Anyways, a long answer. I'm sorry.
We like those.
Good.
I would.
I mean, think about the lunches and dinners.
Yeah, yeah.
Breakfast.
Let's hang out. Are you going to be in Miami?
You just open up a little can. I'm not even hungry.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
You may not like me. Soon.
I don't know. I love everybody.
Good answer. And then just to wrap it up, kind of keep this one shorter, as much as I would love to keep going, but one piece of advice you want to leave everyone in this physical crowd here today.
Wow, one piece of advice. Here it is. Go home and create a magic moment for your partner or your children. What do I mean by that? I gave that homework assignment 10 days ago with my inner circle team, about 30 people I worked very closely with. He said, man, I booked my wife a pedicure and a manicure. I took her to lunch, shopping. Then I took her to dinner and she just bubbled. He said, I haven't done that in years and years and years. I created a magic moment for my wife. And I can't even tell you, he's thanking me profusely. And it doesn't have to be all those things, but whatever it is, fly fishing with your grandpa. But what are you doing? Tony Robbins says, I hate it. Tony Robbins says he's the best person in the world on the planet at creating magic moments. Create them for your staff. Create them for your clients. Create them for your children, your significant other, your husband, your wife. Create something beyond special, like way out. It doesn't have to be expensive. How do you spell love? T-I-M-E, baby. They desperately want it. That's my homework assignment to all of you and everyone listening on podcasts. Go create a magic moment. There's more life than money.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, Brent, you've been unbelievable. Thank you so much. And to those that are here, thank you for gracing your presence. To those that are listening, watching in the future, don't forget to like and subscribe. Okay, it's very important. Do your duties. Okay, I'll find you. I will. We'll see you on the next Price and Sell podcast. Peace.